encourage him. Now I can go on and tell you even more stories of how people were discouraged, how they got reassured, how it ended up being a happy ending. But the reality is, sometimes we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear how somebody went through something awful and how easy it was for them to come out the other end. The reality is, it's not always easy, is it? It wasn't easy for them. It sounds like it's easy when it's one little paragraph and the end sentence is right there and says, "All lived happily ever after." But the reality is, it was hard. They went through all that. But when we're going through a hard time, when our future is unsure, when we're afraid, discouragement does come. And whether it's our bad choices or somebody else's bad choices, it's hard to be hopeful during that time. I mean, I think we all know that, right? I mean, we can hear all these stories of people going through hard times and how they made it through, but that doesn't mean we don't face it. One definition says that discouragement means a lack of courage or hope. What do we do when our hope is gone? Does it just come back magically? How do we respond? You know, Peter gave up. He didn't consider himself a disciple for a while. But Jesus reassured him. So my question is, what are we worrying about tonight? Did we have our hope stashed? Did we have our courage? Did it leave us? Sometimes we need to go to Jesus. Just like Peter had to be encouraged by Jesus, we need to be encouraged by God. Do we take the time to really pray and be honest with God and say, "I don't have any hope right now. This situation seems hopeless. I'm really discouraged, God, because I thought this was going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. Please reassure me. Give me some hope. Be with me." We have to make that decision that we're going to give it to God in prayer. And then we got to start looking at our thoughts. I thought this was really good. I read this today. It said, worrying won't stop the bad stuff from happening. It just stops you from enjoying the good stuff. And that's about the truth of it. I mean, when we're like obsessed with something that's going on in our life, and we're discouraged and our hope is gone and we're worrying about the situation, we stop enjoying anything that's good that's going on in our life. And that's not what God wants for us. We have to sometimes just say, "You know, I'm going to make a decision. I'm just going to focus on the positive, because I cannot let my thoughts continue to worry and to continue to doubt." The Bible says whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is good, think on those things. But really, it's hard sometimes. I was thinking about The Wizard of Oz. I'm sure most of you have seen The Wizard of Oz. There's the Yellow Brick Road, the little munchkins. There's Dorothy and little Toto, her dog, and she snaps her heels. And there's some different characters she meets. And one of them that she met was the lion. The lion is one of the characters she meets, and the lion lacks courage. And he's scared. He's a cowardly lion. And, you know, it's kind of like opposite of what we would think, because we think the lion's like the king of the jungle, and he should be so loud and fierce. But in The Wizard of Oz, the lion is afraid. And really, when we're afraid and we lack courage, and we're facing these fearful situations, what made the lion finally come out and realize he had courage was he had to face the scary situations. And what I noticed about in the movie is he didn't start to get his courage until he faced those situations with somebody else. He wasn't alone anymore. He had Dorothy with him. He had the straw man with him. He had the tin man with him. And because he had people with him, he was able to face the scary situations. And we have to stop thinking that we're facing our problems alone, because God wants us to know that he's with us. And that's really hard to do sometimes. But I looked up in the Bible today, there's around 200 verses, individual verses and individual spots in the Bible that say, "Do not be afraid." And almost all of them say, "For God is with you." That's a lot. I mean, you know, you might look up maybe like the word, you know, other words, there might be 30 verses or 20 verses, but over 200 verses that actually have the phrase, "Do not be afraid." Why? Because God is with us. That is amazing. When you have somebody else with you, you're going to be more confident when you're not alone. In the Psalms, there's many different parts in there where David said repeatedly, God, you are my refuge. God, you are my strength. You are with me. I can go to you in my times of trouble. God wants to be with you, but the question is, are you going to let him? Are you going to let him come with you? I've had people ask me before, I've got to go to this meeting, I've got to go to this place. Can you please come with me? And they invite me to come with them. Because why? Because they're scared. They don't want to go to this meeting up by themselves. They don't want to have to go face the judge for a court date by themselves. They want somebody to go with them. So do you want Jesus to be with you? All you have to do is ask him. Repeatedly he has said, I am with you, do not be afraid. I am with you, I am with you. For some of us, though, what really we're afraid of is God the Father. Maybe we've known him when we were younger and we walked away. Maybe we've made bad choices. I'm going to actually read a story that Jesus told about a father-son relationship. It's in Luke 15. It's the parable of the lost son. Maybe you've heard it before. Jesus is telling this story. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there he spent all of his money in wild living. We can only imagine what he did with all that money, wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country and who sent him out into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him any food. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against you, against heaven, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to be with his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father called to his servants and said, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet.